So I'm going to switch the order a little bit. I will start with public forum. And I have one speaker card here for public comment. And the request was for 5 minutes, which we will allow. So, Mr. Kurt Smith, thank you.
Good afternoon, Dr. Wolf, members of the board. Kurt Schmidt, I'm the executive director of Central Coast Water Quality Preservation. We do the cooperative monitoring program on the Central Coast pursuant to the MRP that you adopted in August and your board reviewed during your last board meeting. Our first sample this year was this month. It was both a stormwater and winter sample. Because it's a stormwater sample, we don't have as much notice as we would for a summertime sample. And one part of the test, and just one issue, is that we did toxicity testing 4 times a year, and the toxicity test now includes Chironomus, which is a larvae of a midge. And this was specified for us initially in August, we discussed this with our labs, and it has to be done pursuant to EPA protocol 821R02012. And this is listed as an alternative species under this protocol. And we haven't used this species before. We had significant difficulties with the species in that we have to do both a controlled test and a test in the water samples from the field. The species is, to say the least, very frail. And when it was shipped from the lab where it was incubated by the bug breeder, most of the test samples were dead upon arrival at our lab, Pacific Eco Risk, which meant that we were unable to complete the test. We have in our CLAP, we have a 90% completion requirement. We failed to meet the 90% completion requirement. However, the real issue and the reason why I'm before you is because the requirement to use Chironomus is not something that's widely used in any other surface water testing program in the country. While this species is more sensitive to neonicotinoids, and that was the reason it was selected, there is no specific EPA protocol for this species. As an alternate species, you cannot use it in the prescribed protocol unless significant modifications to the protocol are made. And, for example, your lab is contracted with Granite Canyon, UC Davis Granite Canyon, and in order for them to use this protocol, they have to incubate these species from eggs in their lab so that they can use it for the test. And it's a 7-day incubation period, which requires that you have 7 days notice of when the test is going to occur, which we don't have for a stormwater test. But the biggest problem is, because this is literally cutting edge, there's no standardization for how to do the tests with this species. And as a result, the type of tests could vary significantly from lab to lab. And the results, therefore, with similar water could vary between lab to lab, assuming they were able to incubate their own bug. EPA is working on a specific protocol for Chironomus, but they have not finished it. And what we request is that the use of Chironomus in the MRP for 2017 and potentially the MRP for 2018 be diluted because, one, there is no EPA protocol and we are required by our CLAP to use EPA protocols that are relevant to the species. And, two, there is no standardization of methods for this species. Historically, with Hialurua, there was a problem of doing tests as well. And within the state of California, 30 labs participated in a standardization process so that everyone would use Hialurua the same way in their sediment tests. No similar process has been proposed or completed for Chironomus. And so there isn't a standardization in California or anywhere else in the country. There are very few labs that have tried to do toxicity tests with Chironomus. And as we found out, it's very difficult to do unless you incubate the eggs in the lab with a known time for the sampling to arrive, which just can't occur during the stormwater sampling, which is, you know, you set it by the day, actually, that right after a storm. So we request that the Karamas be deleted from the 2017 and 2018 MRP until there is an established standard for this type of toxicity test using Karamas. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A couple of things. One, I close now. Any additional speaker card for this public comment period? And you know, I think in this instance, we need to ask a response from Mr. Robertson.
Sure. Mr. Schmidt signaled to us that through Chris Rose that he was going to come and talk, and he requested additional time for this. And we asked Karen Worcester of our staff to come to this meeting too, and she actually did a little bit of research prior to coming down here to look into this matter a little bit more. And there she is, to respond, and feel free to ask some questions too.
Hi, this is Karen Worcester. Good afternoon, Chairman Wolf, members of the board. So I want to sort of clarify a few things that Kirk said to make sure you're clear. And he was talking about methods and protocols, and I want to just address that so we're clear on what's going on. So there's an approved acute method that for which Karamas is on the list of approved alternate test organisms. That is the method you referred to, and that was the method that they were required to do in their MRP. It's a 96-hour test. We would have preferred to have used a chronic method, which would have had, for example, a growth endpoint as well. But that is the method that is currently being finished by EPA. It should be out later this year. And that method does have more information on, I'm going to call it husbandry. He was talking about protocols, meaning how do you handle the animal in the lab, which is additional detail on top of the method. So in the acute method, they go into that detail for the standard test organisms, which is Cyanodaphnia. But the alternate test organisms don't also have that high level of detail. However, both Granite Canyon Labs, which we have been using, as well as a commercial lab in San Diego, are using Karamas successfully in their labs. Granite Canyon with 100% success the last 2 years, and the other commercial lab with 90%, it's Nautilus Labs. So, and Granite Canyon has worked with Pacific Eagle Laboratories to provide the protocols, and they've also provided them with the USGS protocols that are being wrapped into the new method that's getting approved this year. They don't expect those protocols to change. So the other thing is that Pacific Ecorisk has been using this test. They are currently the laboratory used by Region 2 doing a 96-hour Karamas test for San Francisco region. So it's in use. They're doing the work up there. And they've actually even developed, I have a copy of their own protocols that they developed and provided to BASMO, their stormwater agency. So they do have protocols that they're following. Now, they're not doing something the other two labs do, which is Kirk alluded to, which is you order the egg cases earlier, and then you hold them for a few days until they hatch. What he did is he took animals that were very stressed, clearly half of them were dead, and he turned them right around and put them into a test the next day. Typically, you should turn those animals at least 2 days before you put them into a test so they're not shell-shocked. So he didn't do that, and he had basically a massive test failure. So I think that if we gave a little latitude to the way they're conducting the tests, and actually he set up his own test protocols, but right now he's using animals that are 7 days old. We could put a little flexibility in there where the animals can be 7 to 9 days old, and that the water can be held instead of 36 hours, up to 36 hours, or 48 hours. That will give them a little bit more time flexibility around, you know, when the storms come. But I think they should, I think they're going to need to work on how they're handling the organisms, or I think they have the option to use a different laboratory, because otherwise they can do the test. So that would be my recommendation.
Just a quick question. I was a little confused on pronouns. You talked about how he was handling the organisms.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Pacific Eco Risk.
If you're talking about Kurt or about the lab that they're
using. Right, the lab is the toxicity laboratory that's doing the test itself. But I think that by putting a little more latitude, let me explain. So if you're doing a 96-hour test, that's what, 4 days that they're trying to run the test. And the chronic test, they have to hold the animals for 10 days and still keep them alive. So the current protocols say they have to be 7 days old exactly when we start the test. So he ordered 60 animals and put them into a test the next day. Pacific Eco Risk, the toxicity lab. If he had a little more latitude and hold them a little longer so he can make sure that they're stable, or actually hatch the egg cases, I think he'd have a little more ability to pull off the test. But I think it's really important. We have evidence that, for example, in Orcutt Creek, an EPA study looking at neonicotinoids, I'm sorry, it's USGS nationwide, two of them, the highest level they recorded elsewhere in the nation was 0.14 nanograms per liter. And we're seeing almost 100 times that level of Orcutt Creek. Wait, it might be micrograms per liter. Hold on. Didn't get it right. Micrograms per liter. And we're seeing over 9. So we have really, really high levels of this chemical in some of our creeks, and I think it's really important that we pay attention to it. And it seems like it's switching over relatively quickly in terms of chemical use.
Mayor Delgado?
Yes, thank you. Karen, what's the rationale for the current time of the water, how soon it has to be used, how soon it has to be sampled, and what is lost if there's a flexibility in providing a delay to let it sit a couple more days?
It has to do with breakdown of the chemicals. I talked to Granite Canyon, they thought 48. Well, 48, first of all, is the holding time we use through our ambient monitoring program.
So you have to sample the water within 48 hours of collection?
You have to start the test within 48 hours of collection.
Sorry.
Yeah. Because the test then goes for a number of days, so you don't want the water to already start degrading before you start running the test.
And you're suggesting adding, doubling it to allow...
I think they're looking at 36 in their methods. I think we should at least take it up to where we're at. It's through swamp, which is 48 hours.
And then it would be a conservative result because there would be some degradation of that sample. So the testing you might increase false negatives as far as mortality records. Or,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And before Mr. Johnston add a comment, one of the suggests I'm going to have to my colleague is that we don't get too much into the weeds and give a chance for staff to perhaps work with Mr. Kurt Smith on coming up with agreed solutions. Mr. Smith, you made a recommendation to stop using this protocol, but I'm not comfortable for us to basically direct staff turn left or turn right on this. I think it's eventually it's got to be a staff decision. Certainly, we'll entertain additional comments and inputs from my colleagues here, but. This is a public comment item, so I think it would take a little more time. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I'm trying to understand something. Mr. Schmidt said that that one of the problems was that unless they cultivated the eggs in the labs, that they had the larvae arrived in a stressed condition and they had a higher mortality rate, and you suggested that Pacific Eco Labs could cultivate the eggs in the lab, but Mr. Schmidt said that the problem with that is we're doing stormwater sampling, and you can't predict when you're going to do the sampling, 7 days in advance. Can you just address that?
You can predict it to some degree, and you can order the egg. It's not culturing the eggs. It is ordering egg cases that have not yet hatched. So you're basically ordering them 7 days before they hatch, and you let them hatch out in the laboratory. So you just hold them so they're, so it's not exactly cultivating them so much as ordering them a little early so they hatch out. But I do think there's a timing issue with stormwater, and obviously you want to be able to predict the storms. It takes planning, you know, looking at what the predicted storms are, but also by having that extra flexibility in terms of how old the animals are when they start the test, that gives you some of that extra time that can help with that.
And is there an alternative to the cryolysis that would actually work for the neonicotinoids? Or is that?
This is the sensitive test species.
That you would suggest?
Well, you can run different toxicity tests, but they're not going to be as sensitive to the chemical. This is the chemical group that's a problem for bees, right? And the midge, which is what Chironomus is a. In the same group as a fly. So it's more sensitive than like an amphipod or something.
So, you know, this is a public comment item, so it's not subject to, you know, board action. But I would say that what needs to happen now is with staff to follow up. Mr. Robertson, do you want to add something to this?
Yes, I want to acknowledge that this sampling is related to stormwater events, and we're about halfway through the rainy season, so our decision on this needs to be relatively quick if we want to honor the requirement in the MRP here. Mm-hmm. The requirement is for, I believe, two wet weather monitoring events, and this is the first. This was the first attempt, I believe, at a wet weather monitoring event. We take the requirements very seriously, and typically, if there is a lab failure, that's between the lab and the individuals requesting the lab analyses, and that appears to be what this is based on the information that we have, and you heard. Ms. Worcester, say that. Our timeline here is to have a response within the next week on this so that we can still have access to the wet weather events for the remainder of winter. So that's our game plan going forward.
Okay.
I'm happy to entertain any direction from the board.
Just remind me, Mr. Robertson, do you have authority as executive officer if you need to amend these MRP requirements to deal with this?
Yes, I that authority has been granted by the board. I try to, with respect to this specific MRP or these MRPs associated with the ag waiver, I try to always surface that information in front of the board and that's why I, you know, offered this opportunity for any guidance that the board wants to provide. But I'll be using that authority in the next week, one way or another, with respect to this requirement.
Okay. Well, my comment as far as guidance is, I don't pretend to speak for the rest of the board, but. I know when we discussed this previously, given the apparent fairly large-scale shift in neonicotinoids, there really was a priority in getting a handle on what was going on with them. And, you know, I guess my input on direction would be to urge the staff to work with Mr. Schmidt to try to amend the protocols as necessary to make this work rather than to simply walk away from it.
Well, I think, you know, thank you. I suggest 1 week and we can give a response. So
you know, by Friday next week. Make sure that you have had direct communication, you know, with, pick up the phone, discuss it, and work it out.
And we'll document it, too.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Next, Mr. Shemek.
I'll be very brief because I'm switching. I was going to talk about the water in the Salinas River, which is all good news. I do just want to bring up this item of neonics. I think you all understand how important testing for neonicotinoids is. As I testified at the last meeting, and I backed it up with a paper, which you have at this point, imidacloprid is the most used pesticide in the world. And it has it persists in the environment, and it's very toxic. So this is critical. Other labs don't seem to be having the same problem that Pacific Eco-Risk is having. So, of course, there's a period of adjustment, you know, and we can expect these things. There's bumps in the road. But to say that, okay, let's throw this out for the next 2 years is incredible overreach. They had a bump in the road. This is a critical, essential test for toxicity. Please don't throw it out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.